You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting very confusing following the Padres managerial search, Woods.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Day before yesterday, it was Ron Washington was the clear-cut favorite. Yesterday, John Heyman tweets that Jace Tingler appears to be the front runner. They're the only two candidates left, but maybe the Padres will hire someone else, you keep hearing. It's going to happen really soon, unless it doesn't. There's a lot of qualifiers when it comes to looking for a Padres new manager. Apparently. But we did hear Ron Washington was in town yesterday interviewing, having dinner with Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler. Jace Tingler came the day before. Haven't seen anyone else coming back for a second interview. So until I hear otherwise, I still think it's one of those two guys that's going to be the next Padres manager.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably know something next week, you know, early next week. They'll probably take the weekend to hammer out some small details. I'm expecting Monday or Tuesday, hopefully. I think Monday will be an off day before the World Series between the Astros and the Nationals, which is almost guaranteed at this point. I would say that would be a good day to hear it, Monday.
Makes some sense. Ben Woods here with you Friday morning on 97.3 The Fan. And as I told you, we got a busy show today. We're just starting right out of the gates here in our second hour talking a little baseball. Woods, you saw Emily Walden was in town here in San Diego.
Yeah.
And you said to me, hey, we got to get Emily on.
She's had her
on before. She's fantastic. She covers all kinds of stuff for the Detroit Tigers, Baseball America. She covers MLB prospects for The Athletic as well. And we've got her right now joining us on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Emily Walden is with us. Emily, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you guys for having me. It's great to be back.
Thank you so much for getting up early. Right, now, did you leave San Diego or are you still here?
I left yesterday, sadly. That was tough. I had really an incredible time. It was just an overnight trip, just to kind of do some sightseeing and take a little bit of a breather from the Arizona Fall League, and I had a fantastic time.
Well, I wanted to have you on because I know that you're not being truthful right now, and you did, in fact, interview for the Padres managerial job. I'm guessing because your hotel was right next to Petco Park. You posted a picture. I'm like, Emily Walden could run this team, and I would be more on board with Emily Walden running the Padres than Jace Tingler at this point.
You know, honestly, I'm not authorized to discuss that subject.
Playing her cards close to the best, Woods. I like that.
I do
like that.
I'd be all for it because Emily is one of the most knowledgeable people on Twitter about. You have an affinity, I would say, for a lot of the Padres prospects, and we've talked about them before. But you know, look, as we're sitting here watching these postseason baseball, man, you look at a team like the Padres, and then you look at a team like the Astros, or the Nationals, or the Yankees, even, or even the Cardinals, and you're like, oh, it feels so far away. It really does feel so far away when you look at the lineup construction, and most importantly, the pitching. In your opinion, how close do you think some of those Padres prospects are to being able to, you know, help this team get to a postseason?
Yeah, I think it's closer than a lot of people expect. I think there was a little bit of a preview this past season, getting to see guys like, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Arias, and there's a few other ones too. A lot of pitching talent. I know I kind of joke around about Luis Patino. But he's somebody who I think is really, really close. I would say probably in the next 2 years specifically. He's somebody that could get a chance to get a look maybe as a September call-up or somewhere in that time frame. But there's definitely a lot of really solid talent coming up. And you can't help but praise the Padres scouting department specifically because they have such a good eye, especially in the international market, being able to pick out these guys that maybe don't necessarily look as sharp as they could be, but Chris Kemp, the international scouting director, just an absolute talent when it comes to that stuff. There's definitely a lot to be excited about.
Emily, if the Padres are going to be successful here in the next couple of years, it's not simply going to be from guys like Luis Patino and Mackenzie Gore graduating. They're also going to have to make some trades of those prospects and turn them into some major league talent. AJ Preller has already said it. We're expecting, even in this offseason, to see some of that. And the Padres have the depth in the minor leagues to do so. So what I wanted to ask you, we know you like Patino. Who are kind of the untouchables versus the guys that you might be able to see the Padres as putting in potential deals to improve their roster on the major league level? I mean, where do you kind of draw your line on the untouchables?
Yeah, I actually had an interesting conversation with a scout here at the Arizona Fall League where we were talking about sort of the depth of the system. And he said, you know, the Padres are in this really unique situation where their top tier talent, a lot of those guys, I think the Luis Patinos, Mackenzie Gore, I think those guys are going to be off limits. But he said, even if you look at that second tier, sometimes even third tier of prospect talent, some of those guys are right on top with other organizations. I mean, they've got so much depth to where you may not see as many of the top name guys like Gore, like Patino. You might see a Joey Cantillo. You might see a Ryan Weathers get put up for consideration. They still have that depth there. They've got so much to work with. So I think they're really in a good position to put some deals on the table. And we all know AJ Preller is a little bit of a mad scientist, if you will, when it comes wheeling and dealing and getting those things put in place. So it's going to be fun to see what he has in mind moving forward.
But you're talking to Emily Walden from Baseball America. And, you know, Emily, Brian Cashman is a GM that it's so funny. I mean, I grew up a Yankee fan as well, and he never hugged prospects, ever. This is the way the game is going now. I mean, he had a chance at the deadline to make moves this year, last year, and he decided to hang on to his top prospects. Obviously, how hard do you think it's going to be for AJ Preller? I mean, the guy, you know, literally, I met Chris Kemp and I talked to him. There's some of these guys where they had to take, you know, rickety buses into these fields in the middle of nowhere and watch through a chain link fence. How hard is it going to be for him to give up, you know, somebody that he's kind of developed and looked at since he was 16 years old? Because if it's hard for Brian Cashman, I got to imagine it's got to be harder for AJ Preller.
Oh, I think it's definitely hard. And I remember speaking specifically about Patino with Chris Kemp, seeing a guy at the beginning who Kemp told me, he goes, you know, Patino was maybe a buck 60 soaking wet on the scale, just this skinny kid. It didn't really throw hard at all. But it's the fact that he's got that eye for what they could become.
Yeah.
And I think it does make him a lot more close to home, because you're like, this is home developed talent. And these are guys that you're trying to prepare for the future of the organization. But I think if they understand how close this team is to becoming a contender again in the next few years, they're on the right side. The Padres are on the right side of moving in that direction, but they're going to have to shift a few of those pieces. And like we were saying before, they have the depth to work with, so I think they're in a really good position.
So when Emily Walden comes to San Diego for a little overnight trip, and is finished with her interview with AJ Preller for the Padres managerial job.
Right.
Where does she go? Sightseeing? Where does she go eat? I'm just kind of curious, you know, what someone coming from outside to San Diego makes the most of their time in our fine little town.
Yeah, first of all, I have to say there's way too much to see in that city. Oh, my goodness. I had a list probably longer than my arm of restaurants that people recommended. Got to go get some tacos, so that was definitely on the top of my list.
That's a must.
Everybody should have to get tacos. I was able to do that. Got to go out to Balboa Park yesterday. Went to Coronado Beach. Obviously did the Petco tour, so I was able to get an inside look there at the park.
And I bet you did. I bet you did. Very inside look at Petco Park, I am sure.
And it was, I can confirm that it's a very good park, and can also confirm that I wouldn't mind going back again in the future.
Interesting. Interesting, Emily. Well, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning as we talk about some of the prospects out there. Always love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys.
That is Emily Walden. You just, I mean, it was like, oh, she's in San Diego. Let's get her on. She's just sightseeing 100%. In San Diego. But that, hey, that was still a great conversation.
The best was she tweeted, yeah, she's like, there's no Luis Patino jerseys in the Padres gift shop. That's going to be a problem for me. She loves Patino, is super high on him. I think we all are. And yeah, there's he and Gore. That's it for me. Like, anybody else, everybody else, we need some pieces here. And again, I go back to you, Ben. I know you've been watching a lot of the baseball playoffs too. Dude, you look at the lineup construction. You look at some of the play. Carlos Correa is hitting seventh for your team and is hitting 3-run bombs to just dagger my heart. He's the 7-hole hitter, 7. And you watch, you're like, yeah, we got a ways to go. We're gonna really need to move some pieces.
You can say that the Padres have a long ways to go. You watch last night's game, you feel like the Yankees have a long ways to go to catch the Astros.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt
about
it.
Didn't look like two equal teams on the field last night. Want to get into the American League Championship Series?
We don't have to.
Well, you got to discuss
it
a little bit. I mean, at least on the impact of how it's going to set up the World Series and what the Astros should do here coming up in Game 5 later today. We will have that coming up for you. It's Ben and Woods on a Friday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Football Friday, we will definitely get to more football as the day rolls on. In fact, Colin Wilson, our guy from the Action Network, going to be with us at 7:35 today. But Woods, we can't just not talk about the Yankees last night.
Sure.
You think we can, but we have to.
Yeah, let's
do it. We have to mention it. And I was watching the game, and as a Padres fan, it felt oddly familiar to games I had watched during the season. A team playing against a really good team. And the Padres did pretty well against good teams in baseball. They'd look like for a few innings, yeah, they can hang with this team. They're looking good. They're close. They had a couple of opportunities where if they'd gotten a big hit, first inning against Zach Greinke, bases loaded situation for Gleyber Torres in a 3-1 game, and you're thinking, if they could just come up with a big hit here, they're right with this team. They're hanging. But then by the end of the game, you had a couple misplays.
A couple.
Errors.
Four.
The opposing team would make a couple of nice, good base running, take advantage of situations. And you look up at the scoreboard at the end of the game, and you're down 8-3. And you wonder where it all happened. It felt like a Padres game last night. And the Yankees were playing the role of the Padres.
And once again, you know, you had Greinke on the ropes. He was done. He could not throw a strike in the first inning. He walked in a run. And you just can't get that big hit. You just can't deliver that knockout blow. And that team has been so good at delivering the knockout blow the entire season and with a roster of no-names the entire year. Giancarlo Stanton played 18 games for that team this year. 18. Judge, hurt. Didi, hurt. Andujar, out for the year. Severino, out. LeMahieu moves to first. You got Luke Voit, Mike Talkman. You got all kinds of guys stepping up all year to get them there, and they don't do jack squat in the playoffs. Nothing. Brett Gardner had the season of his life, has forgotten how to play baseball in October. It's staggering to watch. As somebody that watched, you know, I didn't watch a lot of games at the beginning of the year because of the injuries. And I would glance over and be like, oh, they're still winning. Wow, how are they doing this? And then they get to the biggest stage, semi-healthy, with the decent lineup. Can't do anything. And it's not, I hate to say, you have to give the Astros credit. You do, because they're phenomenal. They're great. But my God, man, you cannot have a better example of a team beating itself and just having the worst approaches at the plate. I don't know what's happened. It's
been
awful.
Well, here's the thing. In the regular season, if this is games, you know, 73, 74, and 75 of a, you know, 162-game regular season, a little slump with runners in scoring position, a couple of errors, and a, you know, a little three-game skid is not any reason for concern for a team.
Not a bit.
You know, it's going to happen to every team over the course of a season where you're just going to have a couple of days where you can't get hits to fall when you've got runners on base. You know, every team commits errors. So in one way, you say, well, you can't really read too much into this. It doesn't mean that the Yankees can't win a World Series the way they're constructed. They don't necessarily have to make sweeping changes. But if the Yankees get back in this situation, you know, next year, you better believe Woodsy and every other Yankees fan's going to be worried. Oh, here we go again. You know, if you're not hitting in the playoffs, Aaron Judge, where's the big hits that we've seen in the regular season? What's happening again? But as a GM, what do you do? It's like you got a 103 win team. You can't just throw that in the toilet and say flush it down and say we got to rebuild because we didn't win in the postseason. It's a no win situation for a general manager.
It really is. And you know, the one thing I will point to is that I just mentioned it in our interview with Emily Walden is for some reason Brian Cashman has gotten so scared to make a move to go out and get an ace. The Astros aren't afraid to do it. They did it twice. They got Cole. They got Verlander. Prospects be damned. How's it worked out for them? It's been great. You know, when the Nationals needed an ace, they got Yankee-loving Patrick. The guy wore a Yankee hat to his brother's wedding in the offseason. It was a done deal. Cashman didn't go get the job done. He did get Mike Talkman and Luke Voigt, and those guys were fine. They helped get them there, but they didn't have anybody to help get them over the hump, and that falls on the GM. It also, look, we talk about managers, and I came in here and ripped Dave Roberts for his moves in their series. Aaron Boone's been terrible, terrible with the lineups, with the pitching changes, the bullpen management. He's been terrible. Horrid.
So I think a little bit of a dilemma tonight for A.J. Hinch. They're deciding to go with, you know, Justin Verlander on regular rest and try to wrap up the series in New York.
Quite a dilemma.
It's, well, hold on, Woods. Hold on, because I do think that if you're a Yankees fan or you're, you know, Aaron Boone or whoever, this is your opportunity to say to your team, okay, we win tonight. All of a sudden, this is a completely different series because of the rainout. Then tomorrow's game 6 in Houston would be a bullpen day, and you kind of like the Yankees in a bullpen day.
Well, you still got Paxton. You'll go Paxton.
No, Paxton's going today.
Oh, he's going tonight. Yeah,
he's going tonight. So if somehow Paxton can be Verlander, then the series kind of changes. And you say, okay, we can win Saturday's game, and we can get this to a winner-take-all. Yeah, it'll be against Garrett Cole probably on Sunday in a Game 7. But we get it to that game. Anything can happen.
But here's the problem. When you set your team up with starting pitchers that are good for 3 or 4 innings and you have this vaunted bullpen – if that vaunted bullpen decides to do what the lineup has done and craps themselves, you're screwed. Chad Green, who's been unhittable, comes in last night, gives up a 3-run homer. Okay, Adam Ottavino has not gotten an out! Not one out! You're a pitcher in a bullpen. You haven't gotten one out. Not one out.
They need
to. He's pitched in every game.
James Paxton has to come up game of his life today.
I mean, he's got to go 9. 2 hits, no walks, 12 Ks.
Give that bullpen a rest to come for Saturday. I'm just trying to come up with a scenario, Woods, that gets this Yankees team back in it.
Benny,
ultimately, though, this makes a lot of sense. Justin Verlander going today means that he'd be able to go in game 2 of the World Series on Wednesday,
right,
on regular 4 days of rest, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you win today, you're the Houston Astros, you're very well set up to take the Washington Nationals. You'd have Garrett Cole in game 1 on Tuesday, Justin Verlander on full regular rest, game 2 on Wednesday of that series at home, heading back to Houston. So I think this is a really important game tonight for the Astros and how they set up. If they lose, all of a sudden changes the dynamic a little bit for the World Series.
Last night was it. I mean, last night at home against Greinke, and you had him on the ropes. He's walking in a run in the first inning. He can't throw a strike. That was it. And the air went out of the fan base. It went out of the team. Gleyber Torres, he was about to cry. DJ LeMahieu's booting balls. I mean, they looked as listless of a team in October. They're down 3 runs at one point, I think, and they're taking called strike 3s. Like, Sanchez watches one go by. Gleyber watches one go by. What are we doing? Do you have any balls at all? Do you have any fight in you at all? And Giancarlo Stanton, sitting on the bench, taking up a roster spot, sitting there, no pinch hit, no left field, no DH, no nothing. It's terrible. It's terrible. It was horrible. I credit the Astros for smelling blood in the water and going right for the jugular because that's what they do best. And the Yankees crying about, oh, they're stealing our signs. I heard them whistling. They're so domed out. It's not even funny.
A.J. Hinch, was it A.J. Hinch?
A.J. Hinch.
Great line about that yesterday. He said, had we known that the Yankees would have been so bothered by it, we would have been practicing the whistling
100%
all season long.
If I'm an Astros player, last night, here's me every time I get on base. I would have been whistling Dixie. I would have been signaling. Like, the Yankees get...
Can you whistle Dixie?
I don't know. How does Dixie go? Yeah, I whistle. I can whistle like a madman.
You're a whistler.
I can whistle like a madman.
Nice.
Better than the Yankees can hit with runners and scoring.
Pop goes the weasel. Not bad.
Yeah. I can whistle Patience by Guns N' Roses. Good bit. But no, I just...
Can you whistle American Pie by Don McLean? Whole 7 minutes. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Astros are in obviously excellent shape.
You know, the show's over today. I'm going straight to the border. I'm crossing the border for a wedding in Mexico and via Guadalupe.
You may not get to watch this game. The season could be over by the time you get back to this country.
This freaking hotel is like... We pride ourselves on being off the grid. Our Wi-Fi is very spotty. And I was livid.
That's a selling point.
I was livid yesterday because my buddy Maddie, whose wedding it is, he's a huge Yankee fan. I called him. I go, this rainout killed us. I don't want to go to your wedding now because I'm not going to get to watch the game. Tonight, Ben, I'll be drinking tequila. I'll be having fun, celebrating, knowing that I don't have to watch this game. I am so happy. I won't know if they won until tomorrow morning, which means I don't have to watch the Astros celebrate.
Maybe until tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon when I get home. When you watch your team and love your team and root for your team that hard, and you see that just this gutless performance, you're like, I don't want to watch them celebrate on the home field again. No chance. There's no way.
Woods, coming up later this hour in about 20 minutes, we're going to play some Real or Fake. And once again, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. Phenomenal prize. Plus, our winner is going to be entered into a drawing to win a trip to Las Vegas, including a two-night stay at the MGM Grand Las Vegas. So be ready to call in when we tell you to. You can have an opportunity to go up against Woods in a head-to-head game of Real or Fake. We've also got Matt Savant, the president of the Gulls, coming in. They've got their home opener tonight at... Is it Pechanga Arena? I think it's called Pechanga Arena still. Yeah. Sometimes I forget what the current name.
Still,
I think it's Pechanga Arena.
Pechanga,
it's,
I believe.
You know, sports arena down there. You know where it is. They got their first game of the season tonight, so he's going to stop by, get you ready for a little hockey that is coming up. Also, when we come back, someone is lying, Woods. It's either Adam Silver or China. Someone is lying. We'll get to that on Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Who do you trust more, Adam Silver or China? Going to get that answer coming up here on Ben and Woods. It is a Football Friday as well. We're going to play some Real or Fake in about 15 minutes with a chance to go to Universal Studios Hollywood. Right now, though, let's get a check of traffic on a Friday morning from 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick.
It looks like they've cleared this two-vehicle accident northbound side of the 5 past Gilman. We do have a trouble spot northbound 125 just past the 8. Someone dropped a chain link fence in the roadway, and it looks like some vehicles are swerving to avoid that. So just take it extra carefully there, northbound 125 just past the 8. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Start with a little football news here in a game that almost no one watched last night. Congratulations to the UCLA Bruins on their 34-16 win at Stanford. Just their second win of the season. You remember they lost San Diego State in the non-conference portion of their schedule. Their other win was that insane, 35-point comeback against Washington State.
The craziest game of all time.
Craziest 67-63 game.
That we all, by the way, turned off and said, wow, this one's over. I'm not watching this anymore.
This is how mediocre the Pac-12 has become, though. The Bruins are half a game out of first place.
That's insane.
In the Pac-12 South right now. They're behind like four teams,
right.
USC, Arizona State, Utah. But they're sitting there 2-2. There's no one better than 2-1 in their division.
Amazing.
I mean, you could argue, if you're Chip Kelly, you can tell your team, hey, we're still in this thing. I know we lost five games already this year. We are still in it with a chance to go to the Rose Bowl at the end of the year. If we somehow win our division and win a conference championship game, it is not over for the UCLA Bruins. And it is over, but that is how mediocre the Pac-12 has become. And it is it's really sad for West Coast football because this is now, I don't know how many consecutive years, but you get Pac-12 teams that beat up on each other. you know, the conference winner always has a loss or two and never has any chance to go to the college football playoff and be in the top four at the end of the season. The Pac-12 has basically ceded their spot, their ability to make the playoffs, to all the conferences on the East Coast, the Big 12.
Yep.
You just have no shot right now in the Pac-12. And, you know, part of it is that maybe no team deserves to get there. But I think another part of it is that you don't have as many bottom feeders in the league. Yeah, Oregon State's usually pretty bad. But, you know, anyone can beat anyone on a given Saturday in the Pac-12. That's not the case. Alabama, they're not losing to Vanderbilt.
Right.
I mean, even the teams that used to be good in the SEC, like Tennessee and Arkansas, are now terrible. So it really comes down to just a handful of games for teams like Alabama and LSU and Auburn, you know, Clemson and the ACC. It's not like they've got some giant gauntlet that they have to run in that conference either. They've got one or two tough games. They win those, they're going to the college football playoff.
Yep.
In the Pac-12, you win one or two tough games, well, you got three more coming right after
that
you can lose in any given week in that conference.
It is true, man. It's sad, though. I mean, it's, you know, as much as I can't stand USC, it's like anything. It's college football, when they're a powerhouse. Look, you can't deny that they used to be, God, they were terrifying. And they still got the players. They still have the players. They get the recruits. You know, it's still a blue blood, top-tier program. They just don't get the wins. And it's baffling at times. And they really are the straw that stirs the drink there.
You do have a couple of big games in the Pac-12 this weekend. The 12:30 ABC game tomorrow is number 12 Oregon at number 25 Washington. That's going to go a long way to deciding the Pac-12 North. You've got number 17 Arizona State at number 13 Utah. The winner of that game at 3 o'clock tomorrow will have the inside track in Pac-12 South.
And how about the job that Herm Edwards has done?
Sure.
We
made fun of him.
We laughed our asses off when they hired Herm Edwards. We did. He had like some huge faux pas in his first press conference, and we're like, this is going to be comedy.
Well, they kind of named him like the CEO of football. He's the head coach, but he's basically, you know, delegating, and he's going to be the face of the program, but he's going to hire a bunch of other people, and like, this is never going to work. It's kind of working for Arizona State.
Yeah, minus the kinda. It's working for Arizona State. That's what a huge, huge credit. I remember us laughing about that. And we got egg on our face now, and that's fine. He's done a great job.
Arizona at USC is the other big game, so the two winners of those games are going to be, you know, 3-1 and a game ahead of those other two teams and UCLA that'll still say, hey, we're still kind of in this one. And then San Diego State, of course, is playing at San Jose State. Just one of those games that, yeah, it could be a little tricky for the Aztecs. They're favored, you got to win that game.
Favored by eight, right?
Favored by eight.
Now, got
to find a way to win that game.
Here's the funny part. Last year, if this was an Aztecs, you know, this was the Aztecs game. They're favored by eight. I'm putting my money on San Jose State, but the Aztecs have delivered this year. Their defense has been incredible. One of the best defenses in college football. Their turnover margin's insane. What do they call the turnover
ratio?
Yeah. God, it's through the roof. Like, they take the ball away. They don't give the ball away. Agnew's been like very, very calm, collected, not gaudy, not going to put up gaudy numbers, but he's not going to lose a game for you either. Running game's getting going. So they need to go out and win this game and win it.
If I'm an opposing coach, San Diego State, Rocky Long, I just always look at them and go, all right, there's nothing hugely special, but they're a tough team to beat.
There's no doubt.
They're not going to beat themselves. Not going to make a bunch of mistakes. You know, they're just going to grind you down until the end of the game.
Yeah.
And somehow at the end, they're probably going to be, you know, up a touchdown or so. So we'll see how they do this weekend. All right, it's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Before we get to our real or fake, a little NBA talk here. Yesterday, Adam Silver was speaking at a Time 100 summit in New York when he said that the NBA specifically was asked by the Chinese government to fire Daryl Morey,
yes,
based on the tweet that he sent. The general manager of the Houston Rockets, who tweeted that tiny tweet in support of the Hong Kong protesters, he says the Chinese government asked the NBA to fire Daryl Morey. And quote, Adam Silver said, "We said there's no chance of that happening. There's no chance we'll even discipline him."
Right.
Talking tough, I mean, saying what I think people in this country want to hear about Adam Silver standing up to China. This morning, China has come out and said, we never made any such request. Okay. The Chinese government never posed this requirement, according to Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zheng Shuang. All right, so, I mean, credibility here. Both sides have a reason to, you know, want to spin this story now that it moves forward. Who's telling the truth, China or Adam Silver?
They're both covering their own ass. I mean, I think Adam Silver can't. He said what he had to say, and China is now saying what they have to say.
I think.
I mean, of course, we're going to side with Silver.
No, but I don't know the answer to this question, but I think what Adam Silver has done in his time now as NBA's commissioner is he has enough credibility. You know, he seems like a straight shooter enough that in this case, we give him the benefit of the doubt. I believe what he says is true. I believe he stood up to China and told them, "We're not firing. We're not disciplining Daryl Morey. It's not going to happen." He says it's cost the NBA a significant amount of money.
Yeah, already.
Already.
Just a ton of dough.
Just in this entire situation. One other person it's costing and continuing to cost is LeBron James.
Yeah.
We talked about his reaction, and I criticized him pretty heavily. I like LeBron, but I criticized his reaction to the China controversy earlier this week and his quote in his press conference. It sounded bad when LeBron said it. No doubt about it. It sounded way worse, though, when LeBron became the target of the South Park gang, that animated television show. Not one that I've ever really been a fan of,
yeah.
Woodsy. I don't know if you watch it, but yeah. You know, it's been part of our comedic culture for a while now.
Long time now.
And they put LeBron in the crosshairs and had their main character, Cartman,
yes,
do the same speech, basically word for word. But listen how bad it sounds when the South Park guys do it.
Yes, we do all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Whoa, what's going on, kid?
That's what LeBron
that's
said.
That quote. That's quote.
Yeah,
word for
but
word.
But when Cartman says it, it sounds like parody. It sounds like comedy when he says it.
And that's, you know, we made the point earlier in the week. How does LeBron James, one of the most savvy businessmen, media, you know, knows how to work the media, use it in his favor. How does he come out and talk about, you know, it affecting their financial interests and things like that and making it about himself? These guys live in a fantasy world a lot of the time, most of the time, I think. And what the people in China are facing is reality. And LeBron's never really had to face reality like those people have had to face reality.
Can I hear that one more time from Cartman? It just makes me laugh for some reason.
Yes, we do all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
I mean, it still stuns me that he had a week to set up whatever he was going
to
say. That is what LeBron decided to go with when he was finally asked the question about China.
Yeah, man, I know. That. And I'll tell you, the reason I never really watched South Park was because of that voice.
You can't stand that voice.
You
have a lot of voices that bother you.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
That's the one, though?
Pass.
Now, on the court, I think...
Really funny show, though.
Lakers are coming together quite well.
Preseason, Ben.
I tell you, they look good. They play the Golden State Warriors again, I think, one more time, and then the season opens on Tuesday.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're
the
right there.
Friggin' season starts
NBA
on
season
Tuesday?
Is just about to begin.
Oh,
now, if you believe the general managers around the league, ESPN did a... anonymous GM survey, and the Clippers were the choice of the GMs as their NBA champions. So just adding Kawhi Leonard, to the gang that they've already come back with, they think makes the Clippers the favorites now, and Paul George to win the NBA championship. I mean, I don't know that I can ever live in a world where the Clippers are your favorite to win the NBA title.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun
Very
to watch,
interesting.
Man. It's gonna, and with Anthony Davis in L.A., L.A. is going to be the hub of basketball this year. And, the China situation, too, it's not going away. It's tough. It's a tough, tough look. It's a tough start to the NBA season for those guys, for Adam Silver. And I think, you know, he's done a really good job since he's gotten in there. This was kind of his first misstep, and we'll see how they react. But, you know, talk to me after Christmas about the NBA. I know you're going to want to talk about it.
Christmas, I know.
Yeah, I'll always try to steer it away when you try to bring it up next Tuesday.
Right. Well, we could talk golf if you want.
No,
I'll Tiger Woods is coming back next week.
I don't care about
Japan.
That. I don't care about that. I want to talk about your golf yesterday with the client.
It went well.
Which we talked about on our show.
All right, let me throw out the phone numbers. We're going to play real or fake here in 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll give you a little update on how it went. 833-288-0973. You want to dial in now. We'll take the fourth caller if you want to compete against Woods for a chance to win those Universal Studios Hollywood tickets, qualify for the Vegas getaway. 833-288-0973. All right. Golf, client golf, which I had never done business golf before. Was a lot of fun. I was worried I'd be uncomfortable. People you don't really know that well.
Yeah.
Playing golf with them, but we had a really good time. Hit it off. I see why people in business like to do business on the golf course. Very, very relaxing, easy. You get someone in a place for like 4 hours. You start to get comfortable with someone.
Now, was there selling going on?
No hard sells.
Okay,
just really a round of golf.
Okay,
it was basically. People going out and having fun. And I did think about the fact that at least a couple of these people are like working here. Like they're on the clock getting paid for this.
Yes.
And I realized that I never get paid for playing golf.
No.
So this was actually a pretty genius strategy of business people that they've come up with, business golf.
Well, and I think the other thing too with you in particular, if you want to get Ben Higgins to a meeting after the show is over, just take him to the golf course and you'll probably go.
It definitely didn't hurt.
And I heard you blew a 5-foot putt for the win.
Well, we were tied going into the last hole, and I didn't throw it. I actually wanted to make that. It would have given me a 39 in the back, which is a good round. I wanted get that number. But
what did you shoot all
82. God, 82.
Do you know what I would do to shoot an 82 in golf? It would be almost an 82. That's 10 over. That's a lot of pars. Do you have any birdies?
I did not have any birdies.
So that's,
just a lot of pars.
Steady Eddie.
God. A couple of mistakes. Otherwise, it could have even been a better round.
And that guy was pretty good, too.
He was very good,
That's awesome.
He was a good player. So.
Good.
It went well. All right, let's get to it. It is time on Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan, to play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, we've been playing for it all week. A pair of tickets to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood and a chance to qualify for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas, including a two-night stay at the MGM Grand and two tickets to experience Jabberwocky's Dreams, A Journey Within, live at the MGM Grand. Performances Thursday through Mondays. All you have to do, 5 rounds, just beat or tie Woods, and you'll walk away with the prize. Now, if our listener doesn't win, of course, we throw the prize back in the hopper, so do not go anywhere. You might have a chance to call back and win. Our contestant today, we go up to my neck of the woods. Mark is in Encinitas. Mark, good morning. You ready to take on Woods in Real or Fake?
I am. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, buddy.
All righty. Let's get it going. Here's what we're going to play on today. Today on Real or Fake, I'm going to get you ready for your next trip to Seven Mile Casino.
Oh, I love it.
All you have to do is tell me if I'm giving you a real slang term for a starting pocket pair hand in Texas Hold'em, according to badbeatpoker.com, or if I'm giving you a fake phrase from the poker world. You know how they always have these slang terms for two different cards, what they are? So, real or fake? Ready to go? Woods, you are up first.
Terrible at this.
Let's go with Persian cats. Real or fake?
Fake.
That was fake. All right, so fake. Mark, sailboats. Real or fake?
Real.
Yeah, a pair of fours. Sailboats.
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 I've heard of the boat.
Yeah, that's a full house.
Full house.
Sailboats, though, are a pair of pocket fours. All right, 1-1. Let's go to round number two. Woodsy, ducks. Real or fake?
Real.
Ducks are a pair of twos. Very good. All right, Mark, it's just that easy. Let's see what you got in round two. Fish hooks. Mark, real or fake?
Fake.
Now, fish hooks are jacks, a pair of jacks, because they look like two fish hooks.
God, I like this.
All right, 2-1. We're still got a ways to go. Round number three, Woodsy. Let's try drumsticks, real or fake?
I would say that'd be a pair of ones, but there are no ones, so I'm going to say fake.
Oh, next level thinking. I thought I might trip you up there, Woods.
That's how we do it.
All right, Mark, he's pretty good here. Let's try this one, Mark, for you, round three. Peaches, real or fake?
Fake.
It is fake. There are no peaches in poker.
All
right, let's get to round number four. It is 3-2, the score. Woodsy, Shanghai surrender, real or fake?
Real.
I don't know what that would have been. All right, Mark, that's a chance for you to get back in and tie this one up. Mark, bullets, real or fake, Mark?
Real.
Oh, yeah. Pocket aces.
Pocket aces.
Got bullets.
A pair of bullets.
All right. Comes down to the final round. We are tied at three. Woo! Woodsy.
Here we go.
Let's go with Barry White. Real or fake?
It sounds so fake, it's got to be real. Real.
Don't sound so fake because it is totally fake. All right, Mark, your last one. Real or fake? Wayne Gretzky. Real or fake, Mark?
Fake.
No, it's real.
Get out of here.
Pocket nines because of the 99 for Wayne Gretzky. But you know what, Mark? By a score of 3-3, tie goes to the listener.
You still win, buddy.
You still win. Congratulations, though. You'll head to Universal Studios Hollywood for Halloween Horror Nights. Thank you, man, for playing a little real or fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Woods, you got some good news. Hammer, Matt Savant is here, so you're going to have to go downstairs and let him in the building. I will send you, let me just text him so he can get in on our way. Because the president of the Gulls is going to be with us in studio getting ready for their home opener coming up tonight. We'll talk a little hockey, and they always have fun stuff. You know, I like going to Gulls games.
Yeah, Gulls games are fantastic.
They always have a little fun entertainment on hand, which means also with the Gulls starting, seal season's not too far away.
December either. 14th.
Time to start getting back to Pechanga Arena for some having some fun on nights, weekend nights.
Absolutely.
Stuff coming up. So, yeah, Gulls start their season, a home season schedule tonight, and the president of the Gulls, Matt Savant, going to be stopping by in studio. We're going to have Don't Do This coming up in our second hour. We will also be talking to Colin Wilson from the Action Network, Ben Reed's Raps. It always gets very busy once we get to the 7 o'clock hour. I think we're going to try to squeeze in 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 or 5 more guests.
Good
before
God.
The end of the show today. So we are absolutely jam-packed today on Ben and Woods.
Stay with us.
Yeah, that's good. Good advice.
You like that?
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, I'm just watching video of CeCe Sabathia walking off the mound for the last time.
We got in a little bit of an argument earlier.
I'm almost in tears.
Well, I know that the numbers are there, but CeCe Sabathia, if his career is over.
It is over.
Going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
100%. You say absolutely 100% sure.
Yeah, me and everybody else.
Great pitcher. I just never felt like he was, you know, that toughest level guy. CeCe Sabathia.
Me? You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you. I just never felt that way about CeCe.
Were you asleep?
Great pitcher. Great
pitcher.
Great pitcher. I just don't know if he was a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Hall of Fame pitcher.
Great pitcher.
Oh my
Not necessarily Hall of Fame pitcher.
Why would you kick me when I'm down?
We can pick up this discussion later. Half the show still to go. Do not go anywhere. It is Ben and Woods with you this morning on 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.